listening to Chrysalis Color, the podcast. Hello, this is Jorunn from Norway.
And Christine in Canada.
With a podcast about color analysis and how it applies to you in a practical way. We'll talk about how to use your colors to make your days brighter, your wardrobe more enjoyable, and your life easier.
We'll talk about topics that we find interesting, and we encourage you to submit your questions. A podcast listing is available at chrysaliscolor.com under the podcasts tab.
Hello, and welcome to episode 38 about season stereotypes. Whatever that might mean, but it means something because we are asked about it. What triggered this episode specifically was a comment from the fourth autumn progression video, I think it was. And Christine, you were the one who got this comment to one of your YouTube videos. So why don't you tell us what exactly it was that that viewer said to you?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This was a video from a year ago where we were looking at hair color and accessories for the three autumns. And the viewer said, I appreciate your comment on season averages. I'm a dark autumn. What threw many past color analyses was my pure ash brown hair. And the viewer goes on to say, my natural color just doesn't match the averages given in seasonal guides. The link to the video, by the way, is in the show notes. And the comment that I make is at 6 minutes and 7 seconds. Basically, I'm just saying that the pictures of hair color that are going to be shown in the video are averages for the three autumns, but there are many variations.
Yes, which brings up the question, what is averages anyway?
Yeah, average may not be the right word. I used the wrong word when I said that, because it sounds like, well, the average woman's height is this or her shoe size is that, which implies that the sizes exist or close over a large number of women or people. Better word might be season stereotypes. And we're familiar with them, right? Bright winter looks like Snow White and has clear blue or green eyes. I'm actually not sure what the bright winter stereotype is. Or autumns have red hair and freckles. Springs have a bright appearance and sunny blonde hair. They suggest, and maybe we go too far and assume that this somehow applies to everybody in the group or season. It's just not helpful.
Right. So why are they not helpful? I think you're too quickly talking about hair and eye color and get derailed from learning your real season if you focus too much on the stereotypes. We do kind of a detour into looking for the wrong things, the colors that we see, instead of looking at what the color does to your skin. A certain color, as you will see in a color analysis, a certain color makes your skin look sallow or too red. But we put our attention into opinions about hair and eye colors a lot and whether they fit into specific charts. And the charts and the stereotypes never mention what the colors do to your skin.
Right, which is where the real information is. Mm. I agree with what you say. How often have we heard, I can't be a summer, my hair is gold, not ash, or a similar comment?
Yes, or I can't be a bright winter because I don't look like Snow White. I don't have white hair and rosy red lips.
Or whatever the stereotype is, yes.
Yes, and I think we've been there, a lot of us. Sure. And also, we might not place enough faith in the fact that once the skin is perfectly harmonized with colors, our hair and our eyes, they kind of snap into place automatically, even if they're not in or out of the range of this so-called stereotype.
Yeah, that is such a good and important point. Even if they're out of range of the stereotype, because, you know, when we look at our hair and our eyes, ours or anybody else's, we make this assumption and then we think that what we see is correct. We kind of oversimplify. I mean, if we could really know our hair color by looking, try photoshopping your hair with one color. Does it look like you? No, not even close. Okay, try it with more colors. Honestly, I think the more colors you guess and add, the further away you get, because the errors in each guess would start to add up. And then skin tone That's even more complex. Try painting a skin tone accurately. I'm always amazed the number of colors it takes to create something so simple and so real looking that you see skin rather than paint. And the hair that looks like gold might actually just be the warm side of light summer, a season that's cooler than it is warm. And the eye color is extremely cool. So they look next to the hair. So you get these apparent contradictions, especially in the neutral seasons, the ones that are blends of a warm and a cool parent. But I think you can see it in any of the 12 seasons, colors that look like they don't go together, usually hair and eyes, because those are the ones we register. We don't really register all the colors in skin.
True. And here's another reason why stereotypes are not helpful. Our hair and our eye color look different next to different colors. Mousy hair will look rosy, beigey, glossy brown with another color. You know, the hair is never the problem.
Yeah, the hair is just never the problem, and it changes so much. And I always think it's funny to guess celebrity seasons. First of all, when the pictures of these celebrities doesn't really exist, that person exists nowhere. This does not exist. They wear makeup, often the hair is dyed, which could be any season, and then it skews all the other colors. You know, though, I do think there's a purpose to stereotypes. I had to think a long time about what it was. And the first thing is it helps people take a first step into the world of their colors, to picture how having this information might have value for them that they wouldn't be aware of on their own. I mean, those categories are often how we start noticing that people's colors have certain similarities. Maybe like a way of seeing more by seeing less, could we say? And it's interesting, the topic came up in Terry's recent blog post on chrysalis color, which of course we will link in the show notes, called The Misunderstood Season. And she touches on the topic of stereotypes. So I think it's just on all our minds lately.
Yes, I think it's weird how the universe kind of comes together. We've gotten some comments about that, and suddenly we see this stereotypes topic appearing everywhere. We're onto something, all of us. Anyway, yes, and I did. Yeah, I know. And I saw that post by Terry. It's great. And it's kind of a series. She ended on a cliffhanger saying to be continued. So I'm looking forward to reading the next in the series.
So, Joran, are we telling our listeners to basically forget about the stereotypes, pay no attention, ignore them as they identify or apply their season?
I would say yes to that if you're using them to try to guess your own season. But when you know your season and you're dressing as your season, then a stereotype or stereotypical outfits can help you, and they can, using those, can radiate the season as it harmonizes best with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And I really like the way that you separated those things. To guess your season, identify your season, forget it, just leave them in the other room. But to apply your season, I think for an individual, it's a good thing. I said earlier that I had to think about this a lot. What have the stereotypes meant to me? Because you think the best thing about knowing your colors is looking better, making shopping easier. Yes, the stereotype helps us picture ourselves in a new way without overcomplicating the early days and getting lost in detail, because I used to be an autumn in my own mind. And we get committed to a presentation that we've gotten used to, but the thing other people like most about us is probably not one of these edits, you know, how we adjusted ourselves to fit into some category. Like, think about the people you know. Are your reasons for trusting and following them or finding them beautiful thanks to one of their edits? No, for me, whether it's appearance or whether it's character, usually that's what I go around to get to why I believe in them. Season, in my case, winter was my first reason to let all my autumn edits go, because I had somewhere to move into. Big picture winter. Back then, I did not distinguish dark winter, bright winter, through winter. It was just this big clump of stereotypic winter. then I lived with it. And over time, this stereotype changed its role, what it was doing for me. It helped me understand my strengths, because you hear about playing to your strengths, right? Well, it's kind of hard to do when you don't know what they are. You're not every strength. And I think many people, correct me if you disagree with me, but many people don't know their strengths, or they couldn't put them into words, or they're wrong about what their strengths are according to other people. Like first impressions, yes, but what is it? You know, okay, we all make first impressions, but what? It's partly why I like the great personality tests. It explains some aspect of me to me. What season was like that? I found this classification system for coloring that really worked, meaning Catherine Kalish's SciArt system. And it took me some time to understand why it worked, but it completely undeniably did for me and every person that I was meeting as clients.
So this, if you think of the stereotype as kind of like that summary that we sometimes give to the client when we've had a kind of analysis, Norwegian speaking English, it's never a good thing. We give them a report, right? And then we sum up the essence of the season. And in a way, that is kind of like a stereotype, and it helps you kind of ease into your season. I like what you said about the, you know, you have to know what your strengths are if you're going to play with them. So never mind. Yes, yeah. Carry on.
Well, I think you're right. There is a kind of part of, for me with clients, the report that everybody gets, and the same in the book that, or the e-chapters, there is the part that applies to everybody in some way, but you do have to be discerning about what about this is about, what here is about me. And then there is at the beginning of the report, a section that's specific to that client. Well, I've only known you for 3 hours and we've seen a selection of colors on you, but this, you seem to be this kind of bright winter or that kind of soft autumn, you know? You know what I mean by your strengths? How do you get your outside to truthfully represent your inside? Because that to me is what, that's the magic. That's appearance magic compared with meeting someone and still knowing very little about them, right? That happens. You meet people and their hair is going one way and their clothes are going one way, and none of it's anything related to the person that you actually meet. Same as it's easier to act on your leadership skills or your team building skills when you know what they are and what they're not. What can you forget about? And, you know, once we know what we bring just by being there that others trust and see as real, why would they want to join our team? It makes other choices so much easier. It applies to any natural gift, quality, aptitude, because nobody can be everything. And that's true of appearance too. Would you agree? Do you relate to where we are? Like, did any of this really come true for you with Bright Winter? Oh, yes, I could see this, not that.
Yes, yes, definitely.
I can see myself this way. Mm-hmm. I'd have to grow into it.
Yes, and it's a shift, because I was wrong about my season before I was really discovering how that I was a bright winter, and then things kind of snap into place.
Yeah, not everything here is about me, but some things are. So yeah. The winter stereotype, well, maybe for you as well, because you're a winter, was the first time I could see me in those ways. Oh, what other people see, what are my team building skills, if I have some? how do I make the outside look like the inside? And without so much detail that I got preoccupied with little tiny information. And then after that, over time, the dominoes fell inwards to character and to style type. And then so many things made sense together, when before I had these little bits and pieces and what looked like just a pile of contradictions. And again, this just doesn't happen your first week, but I could see the conventional wisdoms didn't speak to me, probably didn't for many people, but what did, and what did I care about? So I got to know the colors, I could apply them. Now we're going 2 years or so later, but I think our clients could do this today with all the resources that we have in place. And if anybody is listening to this and wants, you know, is thinking, what resources are they talking about? Please ask in the comments at Chrysalis Color. We would be happy to guide you. So I could apply my colors to what I looked like and how I wanted my appearance to speak truthfully for me. Because this is the next level question. What is it that you want people to think? What did I want people to think when I walked in the room that would follow through with my colors, what colors I'm wearing, the colors I am, and my personality? I don't really care about being breathtaking. I don't even care about beauty. It's not on my radar. It's not me. I'm a doer, not a dreamer, you know? I do not think about it. So, okay, fine. Everyone knows what they don't want. What could I relate to? I could relate to, what would I want people to think, to say about me? Well, she seems reasonable, capable, and honest. Extremely honest, for better or for worse. I think that's why I like Norwegians, that thing about, can you just be your regular self, you know? And so anyhow, this is all about so much more than appearance, but this is where the stereotype did play a role in my life. So what do you think, Jorn? When are stereotypes useful? Because we want to preserve the good ideas and the conventional wisdoms of the past and other belief systems of color analysis. There's so many good ideas out there. Or the other way around, what would we lose if there were no general ideas about winter this and autumn that?
Well, general ideas is a good different way of talking about stereotypes, I suppose. And stereotypes are useful when you think of them as rough descriptions of categories. And I think they're really good as introductions and examples or teasers to make people interested in it.
You mean to kind of ignite their curiosity a little bit?
Yes, or to sum up things and to, yeah.
Yeah, kind of, you know, have you noticed this? The girl at the checkout counter, if you know, the four people who are going to get your coffee this week, they look different from one another. Mm. But can we put a category around those differences that are real and true? We think of stereotypes as big picture. But are they? Are they the forest, not the trees? And is this even a real forest or is it some kind of cartoon cutout forest? Straight talk, Jorn, do you use stereotypes ever in your life with a client, like before you begin draping a client?
Yeah, I'll get into that. I like that what you said about being a cutout forest, because sometimes I feel that the stereotypical, you know, descriptions of a season is kind of like a cutout forest, and that's useful because it really gives you the big lines, as long as you don't forget the trees, you know, the forest. Anyway, but getting back to what you actually asked, do I ever use them? I don't know, tough question. I do, probably I do in a way. It's kind of a fine balance because we're kind of balancing between not being swayed by trying to confirm an assumption that we've already made, and we need to take into account the whole person that I see before me when she walks into my studio. I guess when she comes in, she or he comes in, I look closely at the client, and they do turn up without makeup. So whatever she is wearing will be measured against her face without the help of makeup. So I don't know. Do I use stereotypes? I don't know if this applies to stereotypes, but I do look at a person. And if she comes in wearing a black sweater and she doesn't look terrible, then that could be a clue that during the analysis, she's probably not going to end up in one of the light seasons. But I'm not sure if that has anything to do with stereotypes. But yes, I really truly try not to guess the season, but I do make observations, I guess. But I think the stereotypes are much more handy after an analysis when you say, like you said, to kind of tell people their strengths so that they know how to dress for them. Yeah. What is your superpower as that season?
Yes, I think so. What can you step into authentically? You know, what can you look at yourself in the mirror and believe in? And the same with me. I do not guess season. It would not cross my mind to think, oh, you know, looks summery, looks autumn. Does not cross my mind. I do certainly look at their coloring and think, oh, you know, that interesting hair and eye color, or whatever it is, I think, but the season isn't one of them. But I look at their clothing. You can't not. I mean, you know, we just don't shut it off that easily.
No.
But I think about what's in there out of balance with the person I see. So like that cardigan, it looks a little too bright or too something. It's catching my attention too much. Or the clothing is too dark for the head overall, or even the clothing is more serious than the person. What are the discrepancies? Mostly though, when I'm speaking with someone, I'm asking how they're interpreting, how are they using color? So I would say, could you show me your ideal for a professional look? And I also want to know how allowing they might be, like what color would you never wear? And so I'm trying to draw out the story or the history, because everybody has one. I've been told I can't wear pink, and I'd love to know some greens, or my hair doesn't go with my eyes. The skin on my face doesn't match the skin on my neck. Whatever their current perceptions about color are is what I'd like to hear. I mean, not exactly about stereotype, but it's in my mind when I meet a client.
Well, is the stereotype of how the colors look, is that more useful than those about how the people look?
Oh, that is a good question. Yes. Yeah. This is where I actually use the most often. Or the adjectives. Is gray in this color, or is this gray? Like mist, is it like fog? Is it like iron? Is it like a Pepsi can? That helps me with neutrals when I shop. And I do the same with colors. I'm looking for a little bit of that log cabin feeling of autumn. If I'm trying to decide if a color is, say, dark winter or bright winter, or true autumn or true spring, something kind of iconic about the season.
Yeah, we do tend to use descriptive adjectives kind of to pin down the essence of the season. It's like desert, not dessert, and these ways to describe the colors: cloud white for summer, icy white for winter, sharp emerald green for winter, deep forest shade green for summer, and those kinds of things. I guess I think of it as essence. And I use that a lot when I try to describe something that vibes with the season's palette. I don't know. Do you think that's just a prettier way of saying that I'm summing up the season stereotypes? I do. Season's essence sounds a lot nicer than season's stereotypes, don't you?
It does. To me, essence is different. It's not, I don't think, a word I use much, but I think I use synonymous words, probably, like feeling. To me, essence puts into words or combines both left and right brain interpretations. And I think what you said, our clients find those right brain associations helpful. Deep shade, icy, frozen. I often wonder how often they use them to make their shopping choices, if not in stores, then understanding what they're looking for, because I use them. I think there are gray zones, but what we're more comfortable using is essence. And I think essence just, well, tell me what you think. Essence to me integrates how colors feel, but I know that there are other image systems that use the word in a completely different context. I think how colors feel is a real and valuable, it's a skill we can grow. I mean, we got two halves to our brain. We might as well use both, you know? Some folks are amazing at it, almost too good, place too much faith in it the way others place too much faith in data. But everybody's got both, and we can get better. It just starts with awareness and consistency. Do you think essence is used in different contexts? I don't follow every color and image system out there, you know. Do you know? Do other people use different things?
Yes, I think so. I think there's a lot of kind of some style analysis systems or color systems that use that word, but we don't. I think both you and I use essence in the way you said, you know, the essence is how the colors feel and how a season feels. But back to stereotypes, it kind of gives us this big picture, doesn't it? And there is some value in that. It's like I'm guilty as charged. You know, I've been saying, oh, that looks summery, when especially when helping someone shop for their season. And, you know, if you can picture that color fitting into a rainbow, if you're shopping for spring colors, but they're more useful for, are we repeating ourselves here? They're more useful for application after you've been draped than trying to figure out which season you belong in. I think we've kind of hammered that point home.
Maybe we've just, you got to talk. I had to think about this topic and still do, just to kind of work my way over to what I think about it. Because the stereotypes, they were always there. But I find stereotype or big picture, let's say, helpful in the same way. Because we can get so caught up in technical details that we neglect to look at the whole person. And I'll ask students often, as we come to the end of the analysis, I guess, could you project the entire palette on this person sitting in front of you? Could you imagine several of their season colors, whatever season we've identified, plus the cosmetics on this person at the same time? I mean, imagining, you know, it has limits. Sometimes we can't imagine things that are very true, because we can't imagine that they would be true. But so often with clients, I'll try a few colors at once and then take a picture with their phone to review and compare. Because the shadow's this and the face turned yellow, well, this and everything can happen for lots of reasons. But look at this human being. Could you see them looking radiant as this season? I think the thing with stereotypes is it's an oversimplification. That's the whole point. And they, like any stereotype, they are grounded in what lots of people have seen, but they can become too big picture, kind of like too much detail is lost looking out of an airplane window, and they're too narrowed down, too generalized. Like, girls cook and boys use chainsaws. I'm going to do both, you know, it's just too narrow of a stereotype. Then the next thing happens, And I think we see this in our industry, in color analysis, the stereotypes applied too broadly, and then we get too committed to the shortcut. I could picture myself as a summer, but no way I could see a spring. That's too limiting for one person to apply to themselves. And then over many, many people, the next thing that happens, they change the way people think, the stereotypes, meaning more and more people sign on. Now we have, like, spring can never have dark hair. Well, sure they can. What kind of dark is the question, not generic first impression dark hair that has popped into every listener's mind. My point is that stereotype begins with the wrong data, eye and hair color, exactly what you said before. And then it comes to a conclusion that does not represent reality. So we've limited ourselves in a few ways. Our errors just piled up. Then we bring in more variables, personality and so on, multiplies the problem. I know a true winter, extremely out of the ordinary hair color, romantic body type, all that dramatic geometric stuff. Oh, I can't, it's awful. Strategic analyst personality type. I mean, at some point, everybody defies every classification systems because humans all have apparent contradictions, just like reality, but they don't, the stereotype doesn't allow for that. So we have to remember too, I guess. So here's a question for you, Joran. What could we say about the average of every season? Like, when should you worry about not fitting into the average or stereotype for your season?
When should you worry? Yes. Well, I think we should just remind ourselves that in the reality, very, very few people are exactly like the average person or the stereotypical person, because average is in and of itself a constructed entity, like an artificial item created by mathematical techniques. And I'm not a math person, so this is me trying to sound intelligent.
Doing a good job. Who happens, it's working.
Very good, thank you. The person who happens to be exactly on the average mark is almost as rare as the person who is further out on the bell curve. And An average is a simplification. It's something that makes a concept easier to grasp, which I love, by the way. I called my business Nordic Simplicity, after all. And you, Christine, do like to point out that often anyway, that you are a multiplier and I'm the simplifier, or whatever that term was. So I'm guilty as charged. I am prone to simplifying.
Yeah, those were terms I heard in a podcast. Peter Diamandis was doing a podcast. I don't recall the name of the series, but he and I think it was Joe Sullivan he was with, pointed out simplifiers and multipliers. And I realized I was a multiplier when one of the men asked the other, described the other, every time you try to simplify something, you complicate it. And I thought, oh, that's, if that's a multiplier, then yeah, I think you'd agree with that, eh, Joran?
Yes,
I guess I can multiply, and yet in my own mind, I'm you know, really reducing it. But oh no, seasons, I think, could be described as mental models. I like what you said about a mathematical construction of something that isn't real. It's a way, it's a model to navigate reality when the interpretations are too many to count. How many different kinds of summers and springs could you find? Hundreds. It's too much. We fall in love with these models because they give us understanding and meaning. Whereas before, the world just looked like a pile of random events, like me trying to figure out my colors, my strengths, and what to wear. There was just too much coming at me. D.H. Lawrence said, this is really brilliant, a map appears to us more real than the territory. So a season is a whirl of color under a certain kind of light, angle of planet, humidity. Well, okay, stop. I mean, already it's too big. Who can picture anything with all of that? So the distillation is easier to get our mind around and helps us organize all this information in a way that's going to show us the truth of how things really are.
Mm. Well, that's a very interesting D.H. Lawrence quote. The map is not the terrain. And in the same way, the season is not you. The season can help understand some aspects of who you are, just like a map can explain some aspects of the land, organize the information about the land. And your color palette, your season is a map, and you are the landscape.
Joran, that is brilliant. That should be on a bumper sticker.
Let's have those bumper stickers printed out.
Yes.
Speaking of landscapes and maps, I am reading a very interesting book these days. It's called River Kings. It's about bioarchaeology, which interests me a lot, and the migratory movements of people in the 9th century, Vikings to be precise. And the author, Kath Jarman, she writes about how maps were very different in medieval times. They were more illustrations of relationships between places on a contextual level, not like the maps of today, that they are accurate navigation tools or satellite photo reproductions as they are today. I will put a link to that book in the thing. But, you know, what was relevant to this particular conversation is that the season is the map and you are the landscape, and the season map is like a contextual illustrations of relationships between your colors and the colors you wear.
Could you say a little bit more about what does it mean, relationships between places on a contextual level? Like, do you mean if two towns have a river between them, the map would not be to scale?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there would be, there, you know how there's a, there be dragons, there's like a, some fishes in the ocean, and then there's a, there are symbols of how to, you know, that this is the easy route, and then that would be drawn easier. It's not an accurate, it's not like our satellite photos. It's a representation about, and if an important place, and if a place is important, it's drawn as a little bit bigger. And so, yeah.
Oh, so only illustrations, no words.
Well, yes, it would be drawings. Yes, a map would be a drawing,
right?
But it wouldn't be completely accurate. It would be more about the the context and the relationships between places and what signifies the relationship between them.
I think that's really interesting, because when you said the season shows contextual relationships, I often wonder if folks have trouble in the beginning understanding how to work with their season, when every season, every color in the palette is the same size, and there are just as many reds and just as many neutrals.
I know.
You find that?
Yes, and that's a problem. You fan it out, and then the icy colors on the winter thing are just as big as the other ones, but they will be used in small portions. Then they're brilliant. You don't have to. Oh, that's a good point.
Because I don't know what the fix is necessarily, other than once you get your palette in your hand, don't stop there. Keep going. Right. Keep looking at pictures. Yeah. Keep reading. Figure out how this makes sense to you. But it kind of looks like, well, am I supposed to do all this at the same time? Everything is equally important and equal size. And again, I think the palette's a technical representation. It kind of has to be, but it doesn't bring in context. Maybe that's it. That's a big thing that you said there. And, we have that season clock. And you'll find that it's a circle with 12 positions, kind of like a clock face, shows the seasons in order as you go around the circle. And you'll see it in the show notes at Chrysalis Color with any of the podcast posts. And folks would put a lot of emphasis on the season placement on this clock face. So seasons 180 degrees apart, 7 and 8 o'clock, let's say, and 1 and 2 o'clock, would be perceived as extremely different. People see the opposition of these seasons, and they take it as very absolute. And those opposite positions become extreme interpretations with no other information on the map except 12 dots. And so what it's not doing is acknowledging all the levels in between, all the variations, but that's where reality is. And the actual space between the opposites is probably not that big at all, meaning a true winter and a true summer, they're opposite on that map. And the people can look quite different, but they can also look quite similar. And sometimes it's really just a matter of degrees. So the clock face, I guess, is like the medieval map it doesn't really show contextual relationships, does it? It's more like a satellite. And we got to remember, well, that's not wind and rain.
Well, it shows contextual relationships in the way that the two neutral seasons between two true seasons have the, it's that in that way you can say it has contextual relationships.
That's true. There are certain ones that absolutely are true. And also the idea that the seasons are just a progression from one to the next. You're leaving a few color things behind and you're adding in a few more, just like the shift in the world we live in from summer to spring. It doesn't happen on one day. It's this gradual movement. But you can reduce the seasons, the clock face, down to too little information, same as you could reduce a cat abstraction to just a few lines. Well, we'd know it represents a cat. We'd also know it's not a cat. We know that a photograph of a cat is not a cat. So we need models. We can learn more, I think, from pictures of thunderclouds than having them in our kitchen, where we would overgeneralize and we would lose information and we would come to wrong conclusions. And so reduction, it's a way to process the size of reality, but any abstraction isn't better. As humans, we don't really love nuance. We like patterns and we like being secure in our knowledge. We're wired to categorize, but maybe we put too much faith in our categories.
You're right. We are wired to categorize. I think it's a survival mechanism, really. This penchant for categorization and lumping things together, it preserves sanity.
It does.
And as a side note, this is part of why autistic people find it so exhausting to relate to sensory input, because they are neurologically wired differently than neurotypical people. And part of what is different is that they don't see a forest, they see a collection of unique trees, and they see the grass, and they see the flowers on the grass. And in a social setting, they don't hear indistinct murmuring of people chatting in the distance. They hear a cacophony of separate conversations, and it's absolutely exhausting. And So the ability to simplify, simplification or simplifying, abstraction and reduction, it helps us cope with myriads of information and sensory input. And then we create a simplified model and we relate to that instead of to the confusing and overwhelming details of the complete picture.
Yeah, different people are different, you know, back to me and my needs, but you learn about yourself in this process. And I saw this again, teaching how much I love to declare a task complete. And then I tell myself I'm going to rest when really I just want to rush off to the next thing. And I see people fall all along that curve. Some jump to decide very quickly. This is summary. This reminds me of summer. Boom, you know, they come to this conclusion. Then others get so caught up in detail gathering, they accumulate too much data to filter. You're getting too much reality coming in and they can't arrive at the decision. But the stereotype, maybe it supports those overconfident rapid fire conclusions that then get carried through the rest of the decisions. You know, black looks good, they must be a winter. Not at all. This person could be some kind of summer. Or any of the seasons. And for me, I've kind of learned to slow down and outlast myself. Those first impressions, they do matter. Big pictures, they do matter, but they got to be registered, but they're really not enough. When there's an assumption that people are very different because of how a map looks or how they have to look using information that's not even relevant to season decisions, like dark winter has dark hair and dark eyes. Well, no, they don't. And hair and eye colors, no, they don't always. And dark and hair and eye colors have nothing to do with it anyway. Well, then rules come out of this. So now autumns have to have brown eyes. Summers can only have blue eyes. Red hair means autumn. None of it is true.
Yeah. Well, it's a fine balance, really, because between simplifying and categorizing enough to create boundaries and diversifying enough to make it about real people.
Yeah. I think it starts with awareness, you know, just catching yourself. When a model works well, well, we love it. We over apply it. And then it deflates reality. It kind of lets a little air out of the size of the balloon that reality is. And, you know, models loop back, they get applied over and over. Well, now all of a sudden soft summer is gray and gray and spring is some kind of color riot. We love the shortcuts. We love the diagrams. But the more people use them, the more they stick around, and then now they become a stereotype.
Mm. Yes, kind of saying this is how summer and winter and autumn and spring have to look, instead of saying this is how they can look.
Yeah, really, really well said. Color systems, for me, are models with limits. The people in a season absolutely have something in common, which is how they react to color. But that is the thing the stereotype cannot access or know or even show. In our podcast, I think, Joren, we take the approach of emphasizing individuality, and our audience reminds us of the importance of that with every comment and every email. So maybe one way of knowing when the stereotype went too far is when the accuracy of the color system is compromised. When the stereotype, the conventional wisdom, is preventing us from coming to right answers, when the quality of our decisions is deteriorating, and that might be inherent in all stereotypes. I don't know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's—
Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it does, but— Back to something we touched on earlier in our conversation. When should we worry about being too far from the season's average? Like if you're a winter and your hair is blonde, or you're a dark autumn with ash brown hair, like the example in the very beginning of this conversation. Mm-hmm. How far can you be from the stereotype and not worry? It's just too easy to say never. So what I'm thinking is, first of all, is that, is there a hidden question of, was I mistyped? There's the difference between feeling that I don't look like the stereotypical version of my season and the feeling of perhaps being arrived at the wrong conclusion in the color analysis. And I'd like to say that if that's the feeling you're having, then it might be time to contact your color analyst and ask for a redrape.
Yeah, that's a really fair point. And it needs to be okay to talk about, both for clients and for color analysts. I knew that I wasn't a typical looking dark winter. Way back in the early days, I had my first analysis was at my training, but I could easily see that whatever it was, whatever label or name it had, I looked a lot better than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a place to start from.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas yeah. I suppose when people wonder if they've been mistyped, the colors just aren't working for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so the takeaway for our listeners, a useful question to ask yourself, if you're worrying a little bit about not fitting your season's average, is just ask yourself this question. Do I like the way I look in my season's colors, or how, what did you say, Christine? You know, do the colors make me look better? Ask yourself that question. And don't ask yourself, you know, do I get compliments from others? Is my mother-in-law happy with the sweater I bought? What is my hairstylist's opinion of, or the Facebook group, heaven forbid?
Yeah, I agree. It takes a little time to look at yourself independently of all the opinions out there. But you do feel that you've made some progress, that you've moved forward. And if you have a doubt, then say something. Always say something. I'd love to offer listeners, I always like concrete suggestions. And for me, it would be to ask yourself if beliefs or questions you have started with a stereotype or some conventional belief. And if yes, then add a little bit of doubt.
Never a wrong thing. And I feel that the takeaway from this episode can be that the PsyArt color analysis is not so much about how you look. It's more about what kinds of colors make you look better. If true autumn colors is the palette that makes you look your absolute best after comparing with the other seasons in your draping process, then you're a true autumn. It's not whether we've established that your hair is coppery enough and your eyes are brown enough.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Joren, for this conversation and to our listeners for joining us today. I really enjoyed thinking about this subject because I think in the past I just navigated around it. So I hope our listeners enjoyed the episode as well. See you next time. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.